Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 7 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2015. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, we're going to do a little roundup of this week in Pop American Christianity. The big story coming out of Pop American Christianity over the last week or so came from a Christmas sermon preached by Perry Noble, big megachurch pastor. Now, we were talking about Perry Noble with Chris Rosebro several weeks back, and we were getting hearing some of Perry Noble's thoughts on the upcoming Christmas service. He said, you got to treat it like the Super Bowl. It's the big event. It's the one that you got to have everybody there, all your ducks in a row. You got to pull out all the stops. How did Perry Noble himself do on the Super Bowl of all Sundays? Not Super Bowl Sunday, but his Christmas Day sermon. Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me back on, Todd.
This was supposed to be, by Perry Noble's own estimation, a Super Bowl event-sized event at any decent church. How did Perry Noble do on Christmas?
Well, the decorations were amazing. The stage was spectacular. The Christmas trees were to die for. But the thing that matters is the preaching. So unfortunately, when it came time to hand the ball to Perry Noble so that he can preach Christ in his saving office, for us. Well, the best way I can put it is that his sermon was an epic fail. It's the equivalent of Mark Sanchez's epic butt fumble from a few years ago. That was pretty much what his sermon turned out to be.
So we're going to hear him kind of, this is very important, we're going to hear him kind of set up what he wants to say in his sermon in this first soundbite from Perry Noble on Christmas Eve. What's important for us to listen for here?
Yeah, so the Christmas Eve sermon, what we need to listen for is who told him to say what he is going to say and what it is that you are going to hear. I think this is a very important clip and should give us an idea of what's going on with Perry Noble's theology and ideas.
Because last night, it's really weird. Now, I know some of you don't think stuff like this happens, and maybe it don't, but I think it did. Last night, I'm sitting backstage, and the Lord started speaking to my heart, going, I got a message I want you to preach tomorrow. And I don't know if you've ever did this, but I told God, well, I've already got something planned tomorrow. Isn't it inconvenient when the creator of the universe wants to interrupt our plans? And I was like, I got something planned tomorrow, and so thank you very much for participating. You ought to watch it, guys. It's a great video. It's all about you. And finally, I left, and I said, well, if it's there, what that feeling is there, when I get up in the morning, I'll preach the message. And I got up this morning, it was there. And God was like, I'm not backing off on this one. You're going to preach the message. And I was like, well, I'm not sure I need to do that. Let me text some people and have them pray for me. And maybe they'll just tell me. Because normally when I have a crazy idea, I've got some really good friends that'll text me and go, I love you, that's stupid, don't do it. And I texted all of the leadership team and our campus pastors. And they were like, you got to do it, you got to do it, you got to do it. And normally they're like, I don't know, you know, maybe we should think about this and pray about this. But they're like, you got to do it, you got to do it, you got to do it. And so I was like, all right. So I told him I was going to do it, and then I wrote this message in 10 minutes.
All right. So not only did God tell him that he was going to preach this, tell him what to preach, God insisted that he preach this.
Yeah, you'll notice here that apparently in Perry Noble's relationship with God, Perry it rebuffs whatever, you know, God says. I've never quite heard, you know, anything like this where, you know, the word of the Lord came to prophet Perry Noble and Perry Noble said, yeah, thanks God, but no thanks. And then, you know, but God was persistent and he finally relented. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Now, so notice here, he's claiming that God is the one responsible for this sermon that he's going to preach. So, this goes all the way up to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This goes up to the Holy Trinity himself. God is the one who came to Perry Noble and insisted that he preach this message. And here's the other thing. He made sure that he ran this by all of the other staff members at New Spring Church. So, you know, not only is this on God, but he has the green light from every other pastor, you know, a subordinate pastor at the New Spring Church and all of its multi-site campuses, everyone's saying, you've got to preach this. So, you know, that's who the source is. And so now the next clip then that we're going to hear, Perry Noble, you got to remember, this is the Super Bowl of Sundays. And so what he's going to do here is he's going to make an appeal to all of the non-Christians there. He's just demonstrated that, you know, to these non-Christians that we really love them because he's spent top dollar on the snow machines and the decorations there at New Spring. And so now he's going to begin the process of the sales pitch. And so what he's trying to do is get non-Christians to say yes to Jesus. That's his theme in this Christmas Eve sermon. And he explains, you know, what he considers to be one of the primary reasons why non-Christians don't want to say yes to Jesus.
But number two, and this is the biggest thing that people tell me, they say, Perry, I don't feel like I could do what it takes to be a Christian. I don't feel like I could keep all the rules. I don't feel like I could keep all the regulations. I don't feel like I could keep the commandments. And so because I can't do it well, I'm not even going to try, because I would rather not try than to try at something and fail. And there are people here tonight that you've said no to Jesus for so long because you feel like you would fail. You would mess up. You couldn't do it right. It goes back to this idea of in the Bible, there's these things called the Ten Commandments. You ever heard of those? Even if you're a non-Christian, you've heard of the Ten Commandments.
All right, so with about a minute here before we take our first break, what exactly has Perry Noble laid the table for? What's he saying?
Well, he's rightly identified that non-Christians are uncomfortable with the Ten Commandments, and there's a reason why they're uncomfortable with it, and because Romans chapter 2 makes it clear that the law of God is written on their hearts, and they know that they're not keeping it. So the law, you know, always condemns. The law is always pointing its bony finger at you and saying, you're not living up, you're sinning, you're falling short. And so he's identified this problem rightly, that, you know, the people are uncomfortable with the Ten Commandments. But the way he's saying this kind of tells something about his view of Christianity. He has a very law-based understanding of Christianity himself. But so Perry Noble, because God has told him, you know, has given him direct revelation, Perry Noble has a real easy solution for solving this conundrum and to make Christianity appealing to non-believers so they will say yes to Jesus. And we'll get to that on the other side of the break.
Chris Rosebro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity, live this Friday afternoon, January the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, January the 9th, we're talking with Chris Rosebro of Fighting for the Faith, our regular feature with him this week in Pop American Christianity, talking about megachurch pastor Perry Noble on the Ten Commandments. A little bit later, in fact, in just about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. We've assembled five soundbites from 2014, the ones that got the most of your votes when we played Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're going to play those five for you, and your votes will decide which one will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. And in addition to the best voter getting the LPR bundle package, they'll also get all of the Issues Etc. books of the month from 2014. A little something special we'd like to do for our listeners at the beginning of every new year. Chris, so far we've heard from Perry Noble telling us, assuring us, insisting that God told him to preach this message, and he had that revelation confirmed by all of his staff on all of the campuses of his megachurch. Then he started by saying that unbelievers are uncomfortable with the Ten Commandments. You said before the break that he proposes an interesting solution to that discomfort with God's commands. What are we going to listen for here?
Now, this next part of the sermon, he's going to tell us about his recent trip to Israel. He travels to Israel quite often. And a conversation that he had with a man by the name of Aryeh. And we'll pick it up from there.
Now, it became real interesting to me, and this is the reason I think you need to say yes to Jesus tonight. Because earlier this year, I was in Israel, and I was hanging out with my friend Aryeh. Aryeh to me is like Mr. Miyagi to the Karate Kid. And he's teaching me the Bible. I'm trying to spend as much time with him as possible, and he's teaching me the Bible. And so we were riding down the road one day, and we're talking about Hebrew, the language Hebrew. Now, I don't speak Hebrew, and I'm sure many people here don't speak Hebrew either. But Ari looks at me, and he kind of smiles, and he said, "Do you know in the Hebrew there is no word for command?" I was like, actually, I didn't know that. I don't know where that came from. I mean, we're just riding down the road here in Israel, and you just decided to share that with me. And obviously, so I got out my little phone, and I'm taking notes because there is no word for command. And I sat there and thought for a minute, and I said, "Well, then, Ari, what do you do with the Ten Commandments? Because, like, you're a Jewish person, and you believe the old... I mean, what do you do with the Ten Commandments?" And he looks at me and he goes, "They're not the Ten Commandments, Perry." This is weird because I've been around the Ten Commandments all my life. But in the original Hebrew language, there's no word for command, so it couldn't have been the Ten Commandments. He said it's best translated as these are the Ten Commandments. Sayings of God. Then he said this: you could also interpret it as the Ten Promises of God. Instead of Ten Commandments that you have to keep if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, there are actually Ten Promises that you can receive when you say yes to Jesus.
Okay, first of all, let's deal with there's a lot there, Chris, but let's deal with his contention, or at least the contention he says he heard from some Jewish guy in Israel, that there is no Hebrew word for command.
Yeah, that's patently false. In fact, if you spend 30 seconds on Google, you could figure out that this is not true. I would go to BibleGateway.com, just type in the word command and limit the range of the search to the Old Testament, and you'll solve the problem here. Now, I have a degree in biblical languages, and so I was absolutely stunned when I heard this. And it's real simple. If you were to just go to the book of Genesis chapter 2, here's what it says: "And the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, he commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of the tree of tree of the garden, eat of any of the tree of the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.'" And so it says there in Genesis 2:16 that God commanded. And when God, and they ate the fruit, and when God questions them, he says, "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" That's Genesis 3:11. Both times it's the Hebrew word sawa. And so, what information Perry Noble got from this guy is just patently false. But, I mean, if you kind of think about it another way, I think Dr. James White, in his analysis of this, pointed this out, that we're basically to believe, if Perry Noble's true about, is right about what he's saying, that every Hebrew scholar, every lexicon, every Bible lexicon, every scholar, every Bible translator has got this wrong. And Aryeh has in the year 2014, at the end of 2014, is the guy who's discovered the truth about all of this, and this true revelation regarding God's Word has fallen into the lap of Perry Noble, and he's the guy who's once and for all settled this, and everybody else who ever translated the word Sawa as command is wrong, and Perry Noble's right. I mean, this is just patently absurd. But the reality of the situation is that Perry Noble is misunderstanding something. And the thing that he is misunderstanding is that when you look at Exodus chapter 20, and this is what's going on here. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "And God spoke these words." These are davarim in Hebrew. "These words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And so the idea is Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, it doesn't say, "And God spoke all these commands." It says, "I spoke, and God spoke these words." And so oftentimes Hebrews or Jews will refer to them as the 10 davarim, the 10 words. But keep this in mind, one of the valid definitions of the Hebrew word, the biblical Hebrew word davarim or davar, is command. So we've got some major problems here, especially considering the fact that it is God the Holy Spirit who told Perry Noble to preach this message, and what he's preaching is factually false. It's easily debunked, and you don't have to be a Hebrew scholar to debunk it.
So basically, he has his facts wrong. He's misunderstanding a very commonly understood feature of the various places where the Ten Commandments are enumerated in the Old Testament. He's misunderstanding that, and then he's taking the further step, and I want your thoughts on this, to say, well, these aren't commands, they're just promises.
Yeah. Now, oddly enough, in one sense, the Ten Commandments kind of are promises. But see, the thing is that all of the promises attached to the commandments, to the law, depend upon your obedience. If you do these things, then you will live, Paul writes in the book of Galatians. That's kind of the curse of the law. If you continue to do these things, then you will live. If you don't live up to them, then you will experience the curses associated with the Mosaic Covenant. And it's important to note this, that never in the Old Testament do we read of anybody perfectly keeping the Ten Commandments, but over the course of Israel's history, every one of the curses associated with disobedience to the commandments is exacted on Israel by God. So, there's promises attached, but those promises hinge upon your obedience, which doesn't really make them promises now, does it? So, this is now, we're confused as all get out. What he's saying is not correct. And then going with this false information, this misunderstanding that Perry Noble has, he then goes ahead and takes it upon himself to literally rewrite the Ten Commandments as promises. And you'll kind of get a feel for that in this next cut.
But I want us to look at the commandments as promises, because there's not even a word for command in the Bible, in Hebrew. So the first command, he said this. He said, "You shall have no other gods before me." And that kind of, I mean, that's kind of, you kind of feel. But I want to rephrase this, because if it's a promise, if it's a speaking, then we could literally interpret it, you do not have to live in constant disappointment anymore.
Okay, that's a pretty bold move. The Bible says this, but I tell you, is what Noble said.
Right. This is kind of Jesus-esque, if you would. You're right. You know, I mean, Jesus on the in the Sermon on the Mount says, "You've heard it said, but I say." This is what Perry Noble is doing. You've heard it said that this is a commandment, but I say it's a promise, and it's the promise that you don't have to be disappointed anymore. I mean, this is the kind of thing where you want to take your head and just smash it into a brick wall. I mean, really? Now, here's kind of the other issue here, is that Jesus is the Lord of the church. He's the highest authority that you could possibly go to. And the question is, did Jesus ever correct anybody who called them commandments, or did he himself call them commandments? Well, there's a great passage in Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 17, and here's what it says. "And as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Well, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother.' What's Jesus referencing there? He's referencing the 10 Davarim, the 10 words. And Jesus says they are commandments. And so we've got a huge problem because now the question kind of comes up, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Perry Noble, who claims that a direct revelation came to him from God to preach this message and to tell everybody that they're not commandments, they're promises? Or are you going to believe the crucified and risen Lord of the church, Jesus Christ, who says that they're commandments? You know, I'm going to go with Jesus on this. But I mean, that's kind of what we're at, where we're at right now with this. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Jesus or Perry Noble? And if God laid this on Perry Noble's heart, then we've got to rewrite our Bible, and we've got to go with the new edits that God has revealed to Perry Noble. But if Perry Noble's false, then this actually discredits him on so many levels, it's not funny. The other day, I actually wrote a blog post explaining why Perry Noble cannot and will not ever admit that that biblical Hebrew has a word for command. And the reason being is because he's the one who said that God told him to say this. And if he ends up having to say, listen, I was wrong, there is no Hebrew word for command, then he didn't really receive that revelation from God to preach this message. And if he didn't really receive that revelation from God to preach this message, that makes him a false prophet, somebody who speaks falsely in the name of God, and that challenges then the very core foundation of New Spring Church, because New Spring is, you know, was founded because Perry Noble claims that he received a direct revelation from God, a vision to start New Spring Church and to make it as a church for the unchurched. This actually strikes at all of Perry Noble's authority as a vision-casting leader and cast doubt as to whether or not he's actually received a vision from God.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. He's pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. We have a little bit more to hear from megachurch pastor Perry Noble on the Ten Commandments and Chris's reaction as well. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity for about another 10 minutes on this Friday afternoon, January the 9th. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Lord God, Thou hast made me a pastor and teacher in the church. Pastors know they aren't perfect, but they are to be cherished and supported. Learn more at acelc.net and register for our next conference on the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Pastors aren't perfect, but they are a gift from God. Learn how you can support them at acelc.net. I will certainly bring it all to destruction.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
The praise team is like a two-headed monster. It doesn't know whether it is an accompanist to help the congregation sing its praise or whether it's a performer to perform on behalf of the congregation.
If I've got a good guy who has a preaching gift and I work with him and I pour good theology into him and I help him try it, maybe I'm going to give him a little pulpit or a bigger pulpit or maybe even the pulpit.
Without what Jesus did at the cross, I would argue that you cease to have Christianity.
Luther said, if the Lord had said, I will put forgiveness into this grass or in this dung, I would gladly go eat it. But he hasn't. He has said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood.
We see how he levels things in vocation and how he uses every job in order to provide us and our neighbors with daily bread.
Just a little review of the candidates for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. We'll be playing that with you. Your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. In the meantime, this week in Pop American Christianity, talking about megachurch Pastor Perry Noble on the Ten Commandments with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. Now, this highlights the need, the desperate need, for pastors to be trained well, thoroughly and carefully, not only in good sound theology, but in something as basic and as necessary as the biblical languages. A pastor simply wouldn't make this mistake if he were properly trained in the original languages of Greek and Hebrew for the Holy Scriptures. That's exactly what they are doing, though. At Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, they are training pastors with a thorough grounding and a knowledge of the biblical languages and in sound theology, church history, and everything else that they need to be well-formed pastors for service in Christ's church. Find out more about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu. Give them a call, 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155, forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. So, Chris, so far we've heard that God told him and insisted that he preach this sermon, actually had him set aside his planned sermon to preach this. Unbelievers are uncomfortable with the Ten Commandments. Perry Noble's solution, and he says God's solution, is the revelation that Hebrew has no word for commandment, and therefore the commandments can be, and are, by Perry Noble, rewritten to be something other than the commandments and promises. What's next from Perry Noble?
Well, what we're going to hear next is we're going to hear him changing the commandments into promises. We're not going to hear him do it for every one of them, but I think it's absolutely instructive as to what he does with these commandments. So I think we have three examples of him switching them, literally rewriting them from commandments into promises.
Second thing he said is, you shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in waters below. If you're King James, this is, you shall not have a graven image, which leads to promise number two, you can be free from rituals and religion and trust in a relationship. Third promise. We go into it by looking at, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. But it's not a command. It's a promise. And the promise right here is that you can trust in a name that is above every name. The next command is great. I love this. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your Lord, your God, is giving you. But it's not a command. Remember? There's no Hebrew word for command. It's a promise. And here's the promise, that when we say yes to Jesus, your family does not have to fall apart.
All right. What's he doing there? What do those examples illustrate, Chris?
Well, he's shaving off all of the hard edges of the law and making it so that there is no power within God's law to convict the people of their sin. And what's happening is that rather than pointing them to the promise of the forgiveness of sins won by Christ, you know, in his perfect vicarious life, death, and resurrection for us, instead, he's making it so that, oh, well, these are the promises. This is the new gospel, if you would. The law now has become the gospel because Hebrew has no word for command. He's turning the law into the gospel. See, the reason why you need to say yes to Jesus is because here's a promise that your family doesn't have to fall apart. Here's a promise that you can be free of rituals and have a relationship. Here's a promise that you know, you'll have everything you need and things like that. So literally what he's doing is turning the law into a promise and ignoring the real promise that we have, and that's the forgiveness of sins. Because the purpose of the law, according to Romans chapter 3, is to show us our sin, show us that we fall short, show us that we don't measure up. But the promise that God has given is that Christ, the one who was born of the Virgin, you know, that we celebrated at Christmas, the one who was born of the Virgin Mary, that he grew and grew and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and raised again on the third day for our justification, so that we can have a right standing before God. That's the promise. And so what Perry Noble is literally doing is cutting off all of these pagans who've come to New Spring Church. He's cutting them off from the true promise of the forgiveness of their sins for not measuring up to the Ten Commandments, and instead rewriting the Ten Commandments as promises to supposedly make Christianity more appealing. But instead of making Christianity more appealing, he's actually gutted Christianity of the truth, and that what he's preaching ceases to be Christianity.
Couple quick final questions to return to the Super Bowl analogy. Has he done an end run around Jesus?
Yeah, he's done an end run around Jesus. That's exactly right. You know, because if you were to use a football analogy, Jesus really is the quarterback, not Perry Noble. But Perry Noble has literally, by doing what he's done, not only set up an end run around Jesus, he started playing for the other side. He's now dressed up in Satan's team's uniform and taking plays and call, you know, listening to the plays called in from the devil himself. He hasn't helped Christianity. He's actually destroyed it and hasn't called people to penitent faith in Christ. The Jesus he's preaching isn't the biblical Jesus. The law he preaches isn't the biblical law. He's literally calling his shots and doing the work of the other team.
Now, the real problem here, as we've discussed many times, is not just Perry Noble or a single sermon, but really pastors who claim to get direct revelations, vision casting leaders who claim to get direct revelations from God. What's the lesson that all Christians need to learn from this example of Perry Noble?
Yeah, God's written word is sufficient. Scripture itself says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be equipped for every good work. It doesn't say some or most, it says every. So the place we go for direct revelation, where we know we can have a sure and certain word from God, is not men's hearts, not vision casting leaders, but the written word of God. And the fact that Perry Noble is contradicting the written word of God proves definitively that he is not hearing from God, and anybody who believes he's hearing from God is being deceived, and he's guilty of breaking the commandment that says, you shall not take my name in vain, because he has taken God's name and attached God's name and blamed all of this nonsense that he's teaching on God himself. And he should pay heed to the curse associated with that commandment, where it says that God will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain.
What's on the docket tonight for Fighting for the Faith, Chris?
Oh, tonight we've got a Terry Savelle Foy update. We're going to be listening to Heidi Baker's husband. We'll be doing a little bit of Joel Osteen and also listening to William Tapley crack the 815 prophetic code.
You can listen to Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners. Now, we usually play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week on Friday, but this Friday is a little bit different. First Friday, live Friday back in the new year. And so we've gone back to our soundbites from 2014. We've taken five of those, the five top vote getters from 2014, and we're going to do what we like to do every first week of the new year, and that is play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the year. You get to listen to the sound bites, and then your votes will determine which one will be sound bite of the year, and we will give away not only the LPL bundle package, but also all of the Issues Etc. Books of the Month for 2014 to the listener with the best vote. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Or go to our Facebook fan page. We've left space there for you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.